morning's reading is from Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 to 10. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded to them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, and as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's lovely to see you here. Let me add my welcome to that of Jonathan, especially to those of you who are visitors. It's lovely to have you here amongst us today. This is the time of year I love this time of year. When people start coming back over the summer, everyone's away and we don't get to see people, we don't get to catch up, and folk are all over the world, and it's just great to come back together and be a family together. Who so far this summer has been on a Christian conference or camp or been away at some sort of Christian event? Who's done that this year? Okay, quite a lot. Who's been abroad overseas on holiday? Who's been somewhere else in the world? Where's the furthest anybody's been? Has anybody been further outside of Europe? Anybody been outside Europe? Yeah? Where have you been? New Zealand. I don't think anyone's going to beat that. You get the prize for who's been the furthest. New Zealand. Who had a staycation? Who stayed at home and went to holiday somewhere in the UK? Okay, and who hasn't been anywhere yet? What do you say "ah" for them? Ah. I hope some of you get a holiday a bit later on. But it's good to have you all here and to start gathering back together. Just one more question. Is this their last week before they go off to work somewhere or go off back to college? Is this last week for anybody? Not this week? You got another? Pete, yeah, you're going away to work in Brighton. Yeah, so you'll be travelling home at weekends, though. We hope. Okay. Helen hopes. You'll be coming back weekends. Okay, is anybody else this there last week? You're away? You're back to school, okay. Okay, well, it's good to have you all here this morning. Isabel, come and join me. She's got that look on her face of what is he doing now? It's really, really hard to believe, but my little girl, who I held in my arms about 10 minutes after she's born, is 16 this next month. It's not possible. I'm not old enough to have a 16-year-old. But Isabel is going to be 16 in September. And suddenly, this baby that vomited more than any child I've ever known, who I came in one day and found her standing on Patrick when she was really tiny, who was getting into so much trouble, is now a young woman. But when Isabel was born, we were worshipping at that time at Trinity Methodist. And as would be the tradition there, as was the custom and as was our background, Isabel was christened when she was just a few weeks old. Actually, Dave, we've got a picture of Isabel. There we go. That was on the day of her christening and her christening. Huh? Not a few weeks. No, how old was she?
I don't know.
Okay. However old she was there. I've never seen a child either look more like a China doll either. It just looks like a child. I've got another photo of Israel. It's got nothing at all with what I want to say, but I just thought you might enjoy this one. There we go. When Isabel was christened, and we took her along that Sunday afternoon along to Trinity Church for the service, her uncle, who was one of her godparents, gave her a stone. And here's the stone. It's been carved. It's just an ordinary stone that he gave to an engraver, and it's been carved. It says, Isabel Grace Grafton, 27th of September, 98. And then on the back it says, whenever you need me, I'm always there, Uncle Paul. And this was given to her to remember her christening. It was given to her so that in years to come she could come back and touch the stone and remember the time that promises were made to about her before God. But in Claire's parents, this giving of stones is actually a little bit of a tradition. And for a while, stones were given to everybody in the family when something happened. So I've got another one here, which is Paul, Emma, and Dominic. It says 42 years. So this is? Yeah. So Paul, Emma, and Dominic, Paul is Claire's brother, gave it to Claire's mum and dad on their 42nd wedding anniversary. When we picked this up from them yesterday, we were very keen to point out that they've now been married 57 years, and that 42 this was given to them as a memorial to help them remember the celebrations that day. In our story today that we've had read to us from Joshua, and Anne just read us the first 9 verses, but we're going to think a little bit about the whole of the story. Stones are very, very important. The people have been wandering in the desert for 40 years, and they're just about to go into the promised land. They're just about to enter into Canaan, into the land that God has promised them. And there's this miracle where they pass through the Red Sea and through the Jordan River, and the waters part, and they pass through on dry land. And Joshua says to the leaders of the tribes, as you pass through, choose one man from each of your families, and as you get to the middle, pick up a stone and carry it with you. Put it on your shoulders and carry it with you. Can I borrow you a minute? Can you come and help me? Do you mind? No? No, do you want to do that? Do you want to come? Yeah? Can you put this on your shoulder for me? It's quite heavy. Got it? There we go. And then walk up the middle of the parting between the people. And this is what he wanted the 12 people to do, one from each tribe. As they got to the river and the river parted and there was an aisle up the middle, that they were to walk through carrying the stones, you can bring it back now, carrying the stones through the water on their shoulders. And when they got to the other side, they were to drop the stones down, pop it down. Boom, there we go. Thank you. Big round of applause. Very good carrying. And they were to pile the stones up into an altar, into a standing stone, so that they would remember what had happened that day. This story that we've had read to us today actually was a story that began 400 years earlier. And it was the story that began when Joseph went into Egypt. Now, who knows the story of Joseph? Hand up if you know the story of Joseph. Please tell me there's more people in this church who know the story of Joseph. Who knows the story of Joseph from reading a Bible story? Okay, who knows the story of Joseph from reading a children's book or something like that, or seeing a video? That's how you... Okay, who knows the story of Joseph from the musical? Okay, I close my eyes, draw back the curtain. Brilliant, every single time. But the story had started then where God had sent Joseph, really, when you look at the story, he'd sent Joseph ahead of his family into Egypt so that when a famine came, the family went there and Joseph was already in place with food ready for his family when they came. And he had to go through all sorts of adventures and trials and difficulties, but that's what happened. Joseph was in the right place at the right time to rescue his family. And the 12 brothers all come into Egypt and they settle down and they do really well. But as the story goes on, the Egyptians forget what a wonderful story Joseph has had and what Joseph has done for them and what Joseph's family have done for them. And they forget and they turn the 12 families into slaves. And for hundreds of years they work as slaves until eventually God chooses to rescue them. And Moses is sent and he rescues the people. And a number of miraculous things happen. Moses comes and he performs miracles. And in the end, Pharaoh, the king, is persuaded to let the people go. And they escape from slavery. They get into the desert. And then there's the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea. And it's an amazing thing. And they pass through the Red Sea and then they get into the wilderness. And when in the wilderness, God does a number of miracles to lead his people safely through the desert. He provides food for them, bread. He provides water for them. He provides meat for them. He gives them a pillar of smoke and flame to lead them safely through the desert. And there's all these incredible things that God does for his people. But people easily forget. And so a number of times God says, I want you to remember. Hold special meals so that you'll remember. Hold special holidays so that you'll remember what I've done for you. Wear special clothes so that you'll remember what I've done for you. Say special prayers. I don't want you to forget what I've done. But the people, it turns out, were very forgetful and easily forgot what wonderful things God had done for them. And so at this part of the story, as they're passing through the Jordan, and there's another miracle being performed, the Red Sea's been, the Jordan River's been parted, and they've passed through on dry land, and they're about to go and attack Jericho. God says, I want you to take these stones and set them up in a pile, so that whenever you see them, you remember what I've done for them. And when your children ask you, what are these stones for? Then you can tell them the stories about all the great things I've done for you, and you can remember. And they were to be touchstones. They were to be stones that they could go and they could touch, and they could look at, and they could see them, and remember what God has done for them. God really wanted the people to remember. But why was remembering so important to God? Why was remembering so important to the people of Israel? Over and over again, God tells them, when you enter the land, I want you to remember all that I've done for you. So why was remembering important? Well, very, very quickly, and it is quickly, three quick reasons. Firstly, God knew that if the people forgot what he had done, they might also forget about him. If people forgot how good God was and all the things that he'd done for them, they might also forget about him. And then they would go off and they would worship other gods. And so God says to them a number of times, don't forget, when you enter the land and you eat lots of food and things are going great for you and you're comfortable, when you get comfortable, don't forget me. Because if you forget me, then you might start worshipping other gods. Deuteronomy 4, God tells them this. Let's have the slider. But why don't we read this together? This is from the Message, a few verses from the Message from Deuteronomy 4. So let's read this together to see what God said about remembering. So we say, keep a close watch over yourselves. Don't forget anything of what you've seen. Don't let your heart wander off. Stay vigilant as long as you live. Teach what you've seen and heard to your children and grandchildren. Be careful not to worship idols. Don't whether they are shaped like men, women, animals, birds, reptiles, or fish, the sun, or moon, or stars. So God says to them, first of all, don't forget, because I don't want you to forget me. And go worshipping idols instead, or gods from the other nations. When we forget God, and when we're comfortable and things are going easy, it becomes very easy to forget God. When we forget God, we end up putting all sorts of other stuff in his place. And for the Israelites, the danger was putting other gods. But for us, it can be putting other things in God's place. When we forget about God, we end up worshipping other things instead. Our work, our home, our possessions, our money, sex, PlayStations, other things become more important than God. And so God says, don't forget, because when we forget, we become unfaithful. Then secondly, when we forget all God's goodness and all that he's done for us, we can wander off and get into trouble and sin. So as well as being unfaithful, we can become unholy. And God said, when you enter the land, don't forget me and all that I've done for you. Because if you do that, you might wander off and get into sin. We end up doing things which we're not supposed to do when we hurt ourselves, and we hurt the people we love, and we hurt those around us through our sin, through the stuff that we do, which God has told us not to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says that if we forget God and forget what God has given us, then we'll disobey his law and his teachings and end up far away from him. And again, we've got some more words here. So let's say these together. Praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God and fail to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees. When we forget God and what God has done for us and how good God is, we also forget his laws. We also forget the rules he's given us, which are for our good, which help us. And so we become unholy. And then thirdly and finally, when we forget all the good things that God has done for us, then we forget to be grateful. We forget to say thank you. We forget to worship God and to praise him for all the good things that he's done for us. When we forget what God has done, then we can become grumpy in heart. And one of the consequences of that is that we end up grumbling and complaining instead of worshipping. When we forget, we become ungrateful. In the desert, the Israelites were always forgetting what God had done for them. They were in slavery, and God rescued them and brought them through the sea, and the first thing they said is, "We're in a desert! Wasn't it better when we were slaves? Wasn't it better when we had roofs over our head and we were looked after and we got all that food for nothing?" And they forgot how horrible it was. And so God gave them bread. And they moaned and they whined and they said, "Oh, we don't like this bread. We had better bread in Egypt. This is boring. It's the same every day. When we were in Egypt, we had meat." And so God gave them meat in the form of quails. Because these quails were so small. Well, we had lamb stew when we were in Egypt. Was it better there? And we're thirsty as well. Well, why can't we have more? And so God provided all. And they were always forgetting the incredible things that God had done for them. When they forgot, they ended up whinging and whining and grumbling. And there's a number of places in the Bible, when they got to a place called Marah, they complained because there wasn't water to drink. And when they got to Elim, they complained about the food. And all the way through, they grumbled about what was going on. Some more words for us to read together. So let's say together, all the people grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The entire community was in on it. Why has God brought us to this country to kill us? Why don't we just head back to Egypt? And right now, soon they were all saying to it, another. The Jews easily forgot God's goodness towards them. And so they ended up turning to false gods, and it got them into all sorts of trouble. And they ended up turning to sin. And that got them into all sorts of trouble. And they ended up grumbling and moaning, and that really got them into trouble. It meant that they spent 40 years in the desert instead. And so God said to them, "This is really important. I don't want you to forget. Set up stones and remember what I've done to you. Think back and remember how good I've been. I don't want you to forget." God told them to remember because they easily forgot. Well, here we are, 4,500 years later, and the truth is, we are just the same. We are no different to the Jews in the desert. We have been rescued from slavery. from slavery to sin. We have been rescued from death and brought into new life. We've come through the waters of baptism into a new life. We've been brought to a wonderful place and given so much. We've been given new life in Jesus. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the promise of glory to come. We've been given the church and one another as the family of God. Just look around you. Look around you. Go on, look at the person next to you. Jonathan, look at the person next to you. Isn't it amazing what God has given you then? And God has given them you. God has given us so much, this wonderful building, this wonderful life, this wonderful family together. And yet we easily forget. So God says, don't forget. Do things. Set up places in your life to help you to remember. Jesus said, don't forget. Remember me. Don't forget how much I love you. Don't forget how much I've done for you. Don't forget the great cost of what I've given you. When you come together as a family, tell your children and your grandchildren what I've done for you. When you gather, do things to remember just how great my love for you is. Tell your children that I love you and I've done great things at the cross. And don't forget. So that's how I want to finish this morning. Don't forget, will you? Because when we forget, we end up chasing other things other than Jesus. We end up chasing more money, better jobs, bigger houses, faster cars, better PlayStations, better computers, better anything. And we chase other things and forget Jesus. And when we do that, we wander away from God and we do things which we shouldn't do. And we grumble and we complain and we whinge. I don't like that. I don't like that person. I don't want to go to church with them anymore. I don't want to go to that service. And so God says, don't forget. Remember. And so in a minute, we're going to do just that. We're going to come together. And we're going to remember just how much God loves us. May now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love, both this day and forevermore. Amen. Let's close by saying together the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.